Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
Hey, thanks for that. I'm Dr. Tim. And you know, marriage can be one of the greatest blessings in life, but it also can be one of those great challenges. I've often said that there's nothing greater in all the world than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you and they actually love you. And nothing more difficult or challenging than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you and they don't, or at least you perceive they don't. And while many couples believe in the power of prayer, far fewer actually pray together. I see both sides of this in my practice. And while many Christian couples believe in the power of prayer, far fewer actually pray together in the middle of the everyday craziness of life. Today, I'm joined by Brad and Heidi Mitchell. They're a married couple, co-authors, speakers, ministry leaders. They have a tremendous ministry organization called BuildYourMarriage.org. We're going to learn a lot more about that today, as well as their new book. They have a tremendous testimony. Out of their own story of brokenness, healing, and restoration, they've developed a passion for helping couples invite God into the center of their marriage. They have a new book out called Building Your Marriage with Prayer. It's a 40-day guide designed to help couples grow closer to God and to each other in the process. Brad and Heidi, welcome. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, it's so good to be with you, Tim. Thank you.
And we're excited, and thanks for all the work you do.
I'll tell you what, it's a joy to be involved in the lives of other people. You know that when you can speak truth and life and you can see people embrace it and their heart change, that shift happens. It's just like raising kids. I love that verse of scripture. It says, I have no greater joy than to know my children walk in and proclaim the truth. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing. And congratulations to you all. I know you're doing a lot of work in the relationship space, but this is special. Spiritual intimacy and prayer in marriage. I think everybody desires it. They want to have it. It's probably one of the biggest challenges or struggles with couples today.
It is. You're exactly right. In fact, only 5%, by some statistics at least, only 5% of couples pray together. And what blew us away was only 6% of ministry couples pray together. And it's like, why? Why is it so low when it's the most important thing you could be doing together?
You know, I've always said this. It's hard to pray with someone who knows you pretty well. You know, they know all about you. They saw you angry and frustrated or what have you. It's hard to pray with someone you may not like right now. You know that? Doing that. But nevertheless, there's something about when you're able to press in and get beyond all that, all those barriers to the spiritual life together, things begin to fade and change and good things begin to happen.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The intimacy that is born out of prayer together, when as a husband and wife, you're coming before the throne of God united, that just bonds you together in a more intimate relationship than you can experience in any other way. And yet so many couples miss out on that.
And I love what you said, Tim, because like we talk all the time about how couples, you know, they see each other angry. They see each other cry. Sometimes you see your spouse throw up. Yeah. You see him snore. You see him drool. But you just have so much trouble praying together.
Mm-hmm. Heidi, in the journey of life, you know, that we all face some challenges and some confusion comes. Maybe when life's not the way it's supposed to be, sometimes just in our personal walk with the Lord, it gets like, Lord, it's hard. You know that I believe, but help my unbelief type thing. You know that I struggle. And how have you, I guess, through the years, part of what you guys have done is you've taken your pain and kind of made it your message too, You have a story. There's backwater here. And it's really the heart of why you've written what you've written, I believe, and why it's got such character and strength. But can you take us back into that? And how do you navigate those kind of seas?
Well, several years ago, we went through a really tough struggle in our marriage that you just alluded to. And unfortunately, Brad was unfaithful to me. And as you can imagine, it was devastating. It was painful. I was completely shocked at what had happened. And it was really a process of God just healing me and me leaning into God. Because when this all happened, I didn't know if we were going to stay married. And our prayer life obviously was not strong at that point. I mean, we were praying together at meals. We were praying together before bed, but we weren't praying together in a powerful way. And so when that happened, I just realized I had to really depend upon God in a way that I'd never had to depend on him before. And I thought to myself, obviously, he's not thinking rationally or, you know, real spiritually at this particular time in his life. And so I'm not saying that judgmental, but I'm just saying it factual. Like, and I just realized I need to lean into God. I need to depend on him like never before. And so I realized I had to grow my spiritual life through reading God's word, through praying to the Lord, and then letting God guide me as far as what was going to happen to our marriage.
Would it be safe to say, Heidi, that in the midst of your pain and confusion, your frustration, God became your safe place?
Oh.
Somehow you had nothing else you could do. But in the midst of it, too, it's also like, why me, God? Why us? Why our family?
Mm-hmm.
Why now? Why this?
Mm-hmm.
And those kind of questions begin to circle, and it makes this journey kind of hard, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I did feel that because Brad was a pastor. And so I thought, how could this happen to us? I mean, he's in ministry. We're supposed to have a better marriage than this. And he's supposed to have a stronger relationship with the Lord than this. And, you know, what's this going to do to our congregation? What's it going to do to our children, our family, our witness? Are we just washed up from ministry forever? And, you know, it was just devastating. But, I mean, those were kind of sub thoughts that I had. My first thought was like, wow, you know, what am I going to do? How am I going to take care of the kids? And I just thought, I need a spiritual leader. And right now it's not him. And I really need to depend on Jesus. So I started watching TV shows. I started reading books and watching like every sermon practically that I could by a godly pastor on TV and listening to radio programs and stuff to just grow my own faith. And I realized that, you know, Brad's not responsible for my spiritual growth. My friends aren't responsible for my spiritual growth. I'm the only person who's responsible for my spiritual growth. And so I took that to heart and I just thought, I've got to grow. I've got to listen to God. I need discernment and I need wisdom, and it only comes from him.
Heidi, that takes courage. Let's stay with this, Brad, in the midst of this. And by the way, this is setting up a beautiful segue to why I think Build Your Marriage with Prayer, this new book, becomes so important. Brad, this is tough. You're at a place where you're staring at the wall. You're thinking everything in your life is about to just end.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make a decision, too. What am I going to do? God, and not just rebound. It's going to take hard work. What was going on and what was happening? Probably a lot of shame and frustration, confusion too on your end.
Yeah, there was a lot going on inside of me. You're right. Of course, all of those things were very true. The shame, the confusion, the embarrassment, almost the horror at what I had chosen to do. And then it becomes the unpacking of what was broken in me so that I made that choice. And there's no blaming of anybody else. I can't point a finger at Heidi or environment or situation or context or anything. Ultimately, it's a breakdown in my character, in my walk with the Lord, that I chose to do what I did. And so part of that is really leaning into that and fully owning it. That was part of what took place during those initial, when everything was just raw. I mean, it's just raw, bloody raw, and terribly honest. So leaning into that, accepting who I was, that it was not the, you know, facade of a pastor. I was a broken person, broken character, broken as far as sin was concerned, broken in my marriage now. The devastation that I had caused of just successive waves of impact of people that were impacted from what I had chosen to do. It was so heavy to carry. It felt like swimming in peanut butter, frankly. That's probably the best description I can give it, because there's hardly the energy to make it through, you know, whatever it is you need to get through. So in the middle of all of that rawness, I would say that the context of our praying together changed too. Heidi didn't know for quite a while if she was going to be staying with me or not. She had not made that decision, but we were still together, and our prayers became more prayers of desperation, prayers of like, God, we need you. God, you know, we need you right now. We are so desperate. And it wasn't just the Lord, please bless our kids and bless our family, bless our ministry. It was the cry of the heart.
I want to stay with this just for a moment, because I've learned through the years, people who can figure out how to navigate these kind of seas and get on the other side, they're probably a lot stronger personally, and their marriages, their relationships become stronger than ever. Let me go there though. I remember working with this one couple, and very similar situation. And she said to me, Tim, all my friends say, pack it up, you're soft. You need to get out of there. Kick his tail down the road. You know that? I mean, just don't do this work. And I've often told couples in these moments when you're in white water, don't get out of the boat. In other words, step back, but don't necessarily step out. Okay? Be judicious in how we go about all this. But if you'll just do some work here, the one thing I can promise you, I can't promise you the marriage, but I can promise you this, God will go with you and he will give you strength and guidance. And so that's a hard thing. Doing what you did is hard to do. That's really hard to do. Maybe you have a word there for someone who might be in the middle of a situation like that. They just feel very empty. They're going through a period of disaffection. They feel lost. They feel violated. And you decided to say, God, help me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There were basically three things I looked at. One was Brad repentant? And truly repentant, not just saying I'm sorry, but was there a reversal, a change of the path that he was on? So that's one thing I looked at. The second thing I looked at was, am I released from our marriage? And I just never sensed that God released me. And it's funny, because I had gone out to dinner once with a friend around that time, and she had been married like three times. She wasn't even really that close of a friend to me, but she sat there and she said, I really wish I would have stayed married to my first husband. He was the love of my life. And I just thought, oh, I don't want to be, you know, 20, 30 years down the road and think Brad was actually the love of my life. And, you know, here I am alone or with somebody, you know, somebody else. And so I just never believed that God was releasing me from my marriage, because somebody else could do this to me too, you know? And so that was the other thing. And the third thing I really focused on is I knew that whether we stayed together or not, I had to forgive him. And forgiveness was not optional. You know, when I look at the standards of God and what Jesus did on the cross, forgiveness just isn't optional. So whether he was repentant, whether he apologized, whether we stayed together, I had to forgive.
Yeah, I had to let it go. I can't let it be a cancer inside of my own heart and life. And forgiveness, by the way, only takes one. Reconciliation takes two people.
And that changed everything, because all else was stripped away. So that was significant for us in that time.
I am thinking about in those moments where I remember my dad late in his life, one of those final conversations, he was saying to me, Tim, my ministry began with my family. It ended with my family. Remember what I just said. And then he said, go with God, Tim. I promise you, if you'll just go with him, you'll be blessed. You may not have the riches of the world, but I promise you, you'll have joy beyond comprehension. You will. And so in the midst of that, Brad, I know that that's where, if you know him and you feel called by him, that's what you're wrestling with down in your heart. And you're saying, God, take me to those places. I am desperate for you. That puts Psalm 51 in a whole different light when you begin to hear the cry of a David. You know that? This begins then to kind of come together in a place where I've seen marriages restored by the power of God, the grace of God. When we get to the end of ourselves, it's the beginning really of Him. God loves to use powerlessness to send us fleeing back to Him. And I can see the joy in both of you as we're talking, that there's something beautiful that's happened. God has taken the broken and restored it into beauty. He promised to take our ashes and turn them into amazing things. Brad, I remember years ago, there was a book that came out called Intimate Allies, written by Dan Allender and Tremper Longman. And they made a statement in there that resonated with me. I've interviewed Dan on it many times. Really, at the end of the day, God wants to work through you, Tim, to help Julie be more like Him. And really, Julie, God wants to work through you to influence Tim to be more like Him. And then when I read that and the idea of soulmates came alive, we're not taking the role of the Holy Spirit or anything like that, or the power of the Word of God. We just begin to realize that we're instruments in the Father's hands and that we have a responsibility to each other, because this is my lover and this is my friend. This is someone I want to be safe with. This is somebody I want to believe has my back, someone who's there for me. And you know what? We do this little thing called life together, and we have kids together, and we've got grandkids together. I don't know about y'all, but I'm in that grandparent season, and my grandkids, it's like I can't get enough of them. I'm waiting to get home today to go play with the two girls, seriously. And I like getting on the floor with them. I do. And it doesn't matter what it is, we're going to have a ball. There's something about that presence. There's something alive in there that says, I love you. And I want to share one other piece, getting personal here for a moment. But I remember when Julie and I were in college, and there's an evangelist that came to the Liberty. We were in convocation, and he said he focused on scaring the hell out of you, if you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. And what he meant was he wanted you to be focused on heaven. You know that? And seriously, take serious your decision for Christ. And I remember us going home that night, and I had in my spirit, Brad, and I'm trained in pastoral ministry, I'm minored in Greek, been involved as a pastor myself a number of years early on in my ministry. I looked at Julie and said, honey, I've got to know for sure that you know for sure that you know Him. You're going to heaven. And we talked through that, and she looked at me and said, I've got to know for sure for you too. It was one of the most loving moments that we've ever had. Those dynamics began to produce within us that connection that you can't describe, that peace that surpasses all understanding, that thing that whatever it is that we need more of, a lot more of, that allows us to begin to get closer and closer. You know that? And when we realize we're in a fight, that's where you come back and you look at resources like this. And I want to ask you guys this. Here we are, Build Your Marriage with Prayer. Inside of it, you're taking on all kinds of topics. And what you're doing is you're taking me into that topic, time, God's Word, travel, integrity, rest, temptation, fasting, sexual intimacy, encouragement. You're taking us in grief into these sections, and you're teaching us how to pray together through this. That's what I love. Tell me what it did for you all as you began to, quote, move closer together, even though you're, quote, you're trained as a pastor, Brad, you know that, and Heidi probably maybe have a Bible education too, but often there's differences about what we know and how we approach God and how we do things. How did you let those worlds collide, and how did you come up, and what was the dream here? What's the mission of this particular work, Building Your Marriage with Prayer?
Well, I'll start, and our dream and our mission is, obviously, let me go back. The intimacy that you and Julie experienced when the two of you had that conversation of just being sure with each other and caring for each other's soul first and foremost, that's the intimacy that we want husbands and wives to experience on a regular basis with each other. And that only comes through focused prayer together and learning how to pray together. So the goal of this whole book was really giving a roadmap so that couples could be launched into a lifetime of praying together, because they often don't know how to begin. They're afraid to begin. The vulnerability, all of the things that stand in the way, that we're, you know, it's a spiritual war. And Satan's going to do everything he can to play in our minds and our thoughts to make us think that we can't do it, shouldn't do it, won't work, whatever. And so then we don't enter into the very thing that creates that beauty and that intimacy of two souls that are knit together in a way that could only be bound together through Jesus Christ. So our heart was ultimately, while there's all the topics and all the prayers that are written in that, ultimately is for husbands and wives to experience the spiritual intimacy and the joy together that they can have only through Jesus Christ, and to be launched into a greater intimacy and to build more legacy, more impact for future generations until Jesus comes back, which could be pretty soon looking at world events, but we don't know, you know?
I'm with you.
That's our heart behind it.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, like we would go out and, or we still do, we go out and speak. And when this particular book was brewing in our minds, one day we were speaking and we challenged the couples that evening to go and pray together. We were speaking on prayer. And the next morning at breakfast, this man came up to me and he told us that he was a pastor and that last night, the previous night, they had taken our challenge and had prayed together as husband and wife. And he said, we have never done that before, never together. And he said, it was life-changing and it was so impactful. And he said, we're not going to stop. And, you know, Brad and I left that conversation and we just thought, wow, you know, here's a pastor. He never prayed with his wife together. And we just started wondering how many other people are out there like that. And we kind of started asking around and hearing back from people. And we realized people are intimidated by prayer and they didn't really know how to do it. So we thought, what if we wrote a book that kind of launched them and it showed them topics to pray about and it kind of taught them how to pray so that they could, our goal is so that they become more comfortable and get to the place where they can pray on their own with our Heavenly Father so that they have that spiritual intimacy that you talked about.
Yeah, and I know you saw it in the book, but after each one of the chapters, what we decided to do is just write the prayer and then designate if the husband should pray it or the wife should pray it or they both should be praying it. Because, you know, sometimes one spouse can be more of a intercessor. You know, they're the one who can pray and they can pray for hours and, you know, never stop while the other spouse is just getting launched and they don't know what to say. So we wanted to keep it balanced and keep it doable, keep it manageable, where you just read the prayer and you hear yourself praying out loud and you get into that rhythm and that habit together. And then every 10 days we have a special prayer exercise that's around like worship or confession or intercession, things like that, so that you can kind of take it another step. Mm-hmm. And the goal, of course, like I said, is just to launch a couple into a lifetime of spiritual intimacy together in prayer.
Our special guest today has been Brad and Heidi Mitchell. They're authors, speakers, teachers. They have an amazing marriage ministry, by the way. I'm going to ask you about that in a second. But we've been talking about their new book called Build Your Marriage with Prayer. One of the endorsements said it's a spirit-filled masterpiece. I think that's true. It's interesting. God has taken a journey and turned it into beauty and restored this couple and given them a platform, a message to bring help and hope to couples everywhere. I want to salute both of you for your faithfulness, staying the course. You know, that's staying with God. Go with Him. And when you do it together, my... imagine what could happen if we could get homes everywhere where they did this work together. You know, my son Zach recently said to me, Dad, I'm glad you taught us to pray. Hey, if people want to learn more about your marriage ministry, the seminars, other resources that you have on restoring relationships and so much more, where can they go?
Yeah, just to our website. It's buildyourmarriage.org. And they'll find our books on there and the blog posts and events and places where we're speaking or how to contact us. Because we're always willing to go and speak anywhere and serve anywhere.
Okay, that website one more time is?
Buildyourmarriage.org.
Buildyourmarriage.org. Brad and Heidi Mitchell, what a delight. We're going to have you back. What I'd love to do maybe on a future broadcast is go ahead and take, say, 4 or 5 topics that are real common and talk about how we pray our way through those together.
That'd be fun.
That'd be powerful. It would be great. All right. Well, hey, on behalf of my son, Zach, our entire team here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, we salute you guys. Pray God continues to bless your ministry and your influence for Christ. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas, in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.